morning, and it's good to be here, and thank you for allowing me to come. I love revivals. It's been my life now for 36 years. I've never pastored. I'm an evangelist. If you look in the Bible, you'll find that. As an evangelist, the only three offices I find left open now is the evangelist, pastor, teacher, and then, of course, the missionary as well. So I have never pastored. I have traveled. You're looking at a modern-day gypsy, amen. So I have worn out two fifth wheels and three motorhomes, a Silver Eagle bus, and six semi-trucks because we're in tent evangelism. And so thank you. Thank you very much. I flew my millionth mile in the air last January, and I've driven over a million miles. So I've just come from South Carolina. Then in Charleston, South Carolina, where they've allowed me to come for 28 years in a row to have revival in their church. And so that was a real blessing to me. Thank you for allowing me to come. You might, some of you have already brought up my son's name. He was here with us and we had a tent revival. So thank you for allowing us to do that. And he was with us and I trained my preacher boys the week that we were together. He's now my pastor, and I tell people that I bet you've never spanked your pastor before, amen? But he's such a blessing. He has a radio broadcast every Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning, and called Back to the Basics, and that's what a fundamentalist is, amen? Back to the basics, the ABCs of the Bible, just never forgetting the things that we're supposed to teach and pass down. And so what a blessing to be here. And I'm so grateful. I hope that your heart is in tune and ready to share the revival that we'll have this week together. And I'm glad to be a part of it. Get your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of Hebrews. The pastor allowed me to set up some things in the back that you probably won't find in any bookstore. The theme of soul winning is not in any Christian bookstore that I know of. And I keep going in them just to see. But soul winning is not a theme in some of these modern day Christian bookstores. So there's a lot of things about soul winning in the back there. And a few other things we'll mention through the week. All right, look at Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. I want to thank you for your kindness and courtesies. Had a wonderful time out with the pastor's family last evening. And I thank them for their friendship. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 11. Of whom you have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are what? Dull of hearing. Now don't feel bad, the Bible says that about some of us, because my nickname for my father when I was growing up was lame brain. Amen. So dull of hearing is a better word for me, it seems like. More calm to me. Verse 12. For the time you ought to be teachers. Would you look at that phrase? You ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you. What's the next word? Again. Thank you for helping me at Sunday school. Circle that word again. I looked it up in the dictionary. It means to redo. Again means to redo. So we're going to redo some things in Sunday school this morning, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as having need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a what? Babe. Boy, a lot of insults in these few verses right here. Dull of hearing, need to be teachers. Back to the milk and a babe. Look at verse 14. For strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The Lord said it's possible to be saved and then divert back to a baby status spiritually. I mean, not to grow in grace, to get back on the milk instead of the meat. I don't know about you, but I like meat. Amen. That's right. I'm a meat lover. But I'm also a milk lover, too. And it's easy, God said, for us to be saved, very possible to be saved and never grow. And sometimes grow and then go back to a baby status. So he said, when you have need to be teachers, when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. So I'm going to You remember the old Bible drills? I'm going to have you help me like a Bible drill. I have 16 verses. I have 16 words that begin with re. The word again means to redo. So we're going to find some re words, and we're going to relearn them. The way to learn is repetition, right? The way not to forget is repetition. And the way to be taught again, the way that the things we've forgotten and need to be told again. Your mom and dad ever had to teach you over and over again? Ever had to tell you over and over again? And finally you got the message after certain disciplines? Amen. The Lord gives us a way to relearn, and that's to redo. He said you have need that one teach you again. The title of the lesson this morning is, Can You Repeat That Again, Please? Can you repeat that again, please? And so I'm going to give a verse. You're going to turn to it real quick, and when you find it, it won't bother me at all if you just read it out loud as soon as you find it. And then when you find the verse and read it, then ask the question, can you repeat that again, please? Can you teach that to me again, please? Any one of those will do. Let's pray. Father, bless, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for Sunday school. Lord, it's a time, as Isaiah said, where we can rightly divide and we can learn doctrine. Here a little, there a little, rightly dividing the word of truth and line upon line and precept upon precept. God, I pray you'll teach us this morning. And Lord, we're never too old to learn. Help us, Father, to learn some of these things that can make us better for Thee. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God said we can revert back to being babies because we're dull of hearing. And we ought to be teachers. But He said because we're not transferring knowledge, we have to redo some things. We have to be told again. And we ask the question many times in our Christian life, how did I get in this position? And it's because we're not diligent to the things that have been explained to us in the Scripture. So the first one is found in 2 Corinthians 4:16. If you'll help me quickly get to it. 2 Corinthians 4:16. We're going to have a re in front of a word. Okay? You got it? Who's got it? All right, right here. Yes, ma'am. And the question is, can you teach that to me again? Okay? All right. The word is renewed right there. If you'll find that word renewed and circle it, it means God tells us there, hey, we need to be renewed day by day. You know, if we're going to have revival, we need to be renewed. We need to be renewed day by day. What a wonderful thing that God allows us, even though sometimes we just forget a few things and sometimes we just don't want to do a few things, God allows us to have a renewal day by day. That's why Bible reading is so important. That's why church attendance is so important in prayer. All right, number two, if you'll get to 1 Timothy 6:6. 1 Timothy 6:6. Another reword. I want you to remember. All right. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. You're fast today. Yes, ma'am. The word gain, put a re in front of that, and we'll call it regain. You know, it's wonderful to regain some things. Sometimes we lose ground. I'm from West Virginia. I heard somebody else from West Virginia. You from West Virginia. Right, right. Anybody else from West Virginia? Well, you know, once you climb the top of that hill, you want to stay a while. Amen. Anybody here ever primed a water pump before? Yes. All right, you're telling some of your, you know how you grew up maybe. There used to be water pumps, a lot of those that you're just by hand. Some of the city parks still have them, not many of them. And boy, you prime those pumps. You remember priming those pumps with water and water, pour it down the head of that thing and you just prime it. And then when you get the water going, you'd want to scream all over the park, hey, anybody want a drink of water before I let this handle loose? Because you have to reprime the pump. So it's good, my friend, to regain some things in our life. And he said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Isn't that wonderful? Godliness with contentment is great gain. All right, 1 Peter 1:8. 1 Peter 1:8. Thank you, sir. The word is rejoice. I'd like for you to remember and circle in your Bible. And, you know, let me just make a statement, just by assumption and just by observation. And I found out that if you're not happy, you'll probably never do anything for the Lord. Truth is, my friend, God tells us to rejoice and have joy unspeakable. Amen. And full of glory. And if you're not happy, then you just probably will just sit down and do nothing more for the Lord. Happiness is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Unless you're happy, you know, we're most men miserable, aren't we? We need to learn in the Lord how to be happy. All right, Proverbs 8 and verse number 10. Proverbs 8 and verse number 10. I could take a long time with all of these, but I have 16 of them. If I take too long on all of them, we won't get done. A lot of rewords. God's all right. You're okay. And 10.
Pardon?
8 and 10.
Okay, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold.
I know there's an R word in there, a reword, but I want you to write the word recharge beside that verse. Most of us got here by mode of transportation this morning, and it wasn't a horse and buggy. Thank the Lord. Amen. And it maybe you rode a bicycle, I don't know, but most of it was an automobile or a church van or bus, and that had a battery in it, and it had a negative and a positive post. At the campgrounds, we have a lot of vehicles. Some of them we call junk for Jesus, amen, but they're useful. One's an old dump truck that's not roadworthy, but we can use it on the campgrounds, and boy, we use it. But it takes half a day to get that thing cranked up. It's an old Mack truck, and I'm telling you, and I'll radio down to see if it's ready. Not yet, not yet. We hadn't got it cranked yet. And it'll take three vehicles and three all kinds of charging systems to get that rascal going. When we get it running, we don't want to turn it off. We just leave it on all day long. And it's just good to be recharged, amen. And some people say, well, you know, I attended church, or I attended Wednesday night, and I came to church this week, but and they say they think that's enough. But it's not. We need to be recharged, don't we? We need to be recharged. And that's one good thing about revival. It helps to recharge us. All right, another thing, Romans 15 and 32. Romans 15 and 32. Doing great this morning. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The word is refreshed. Isn't it good to be refreshed? When I got in town, the pastor had me a nice place to stay, wonderful motel, and they took me out to eat, and I got to freshen up, and I was road weary from a lot of miles in the last few days. And it was just good to be able to get refreshed. You wouldn't have wanted me to be here last night, I don't think, because I was just weary. Weary. You ever get weary? It's good to get refreshed, isn't it? Good to get refreshed. And I thank God. Boy, it's good to wash your face and get a good meal and take a hot bath. It's just good to get refreshed. And that's spiritually what we need. Look what it says there again, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, that you may be refreshed. Every once in a while, you need someone to help refresh the things in your life for the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16:12. 1 Chronicles 16:12. So we have renewal, if you're writing them down. Regain some things. Rejoice. Recharge. Refresh. And now 1 Chronicles 16:12. Yes, sir, Pastor.
Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Teach me that again.
Yes, sir, that first word is what I'd like for us to look at. But it's not the word remember, it's the word reminded. It's the same usage. But we need to be reminded. You know what I like to be reminded of? You know why I come to church and hang around spiritual people? It's because I want to hear all the time how good God is to me. How good God is. Can you tell me again how good God is to me? It's wonderful, isn't it? You know, if we'd learn just to count our blessings, we'd be different people.
Right.
We'd be different people. And so it's good to be reminded, isn't it? Good to be reminded. Lamentations 3:40. Lamentations 3:40. Yes, sir, Pastor. Thank you.
Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. You teach us that again.
Yes, sir. The word turn, I'd like for you to put a re in front of that. Return. Return. Let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. The truth is we just need to keep coming back. You know how to stay right with God? Just keep coming back to the altar. Keep coming back to your Bible reading. You say, well, I've forgotten a few days. Well, get back on in a few more days. Amen. Don't beat yourself up all the time. Just get back. Return. Amen. Return. Read that Bible and stay where you just keep coming back to the things you know that's right that God told us to do. There are many, many commands in the Bible. We just got to keep getting back to them. Keep getting there. You can't expect the lost world to do it. God expects Christians to do that. Save people. All right, the next one. Romans 12:1. Dr. Boyd is my mentor of the faith. He's in heaven now. He'd sign his Bible, sign Bibles, and he'd sign Romans 12:1-2, and he'd say, here, son, when you can live up to that, I'll eat that page out of the Bible. It's a hard verse to live up to. Who's found it? Yes, sir, thank you. Okay, the word I'd like for you to put down there is not the word reasonable, but rededicate. Rededicate. There's one thing that I constantly find myself having to do, and that's to rededicate myself. You know, the truth is we can talk and teach about a lot of things and preach about a lot of things. It makes us happy, makes us want to shout, amen. But when it talks about giving your body, boy, that's a hard thing to do, to dedicate yourself. And he said there that it's just a reasonable service to be holy and acceptable unto God. And so don't forget that you promised God some things. You ever promised God something? Rededicate yourself to that thing. I think that's what these verses are really, really trying to be strong about. Psalms 23:3. Psalms 23:3. Yes, ma'am.
He restored my soul, leading me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
All right. I want you to write beside that verse, restarted. Restarted. It's good to get restarted, isn't it? Sometimes you wonder, can I ever get back to doing those things? The Bible said, he restores my soul. That's a promise. Amen. He restoreth my soul. And he said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, if it wasn't for the Lord, we'd never do anything good, would we? I mean, honestly, the Lord wants us to get restarted again. All right, Psalm 37:5. Psalm 37:5. Yes, ma'am, thank you. Yes, thanks, Abigail. All right, the word commit, put a re in front of that, okay? Recommit. Recommit. One of the things that the churches lack a lot of, and that is people who will get involved.
That's right.
I mean, people who really just need to help out. And God tells us there to commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So we need to be recommitted. Get back on track again. You ever had one of those little train tracks when you were growing up as a little boy, and those old front tires and front wheels would get off the track, and boy, you'd have to stop and just put that train right back in position again before it could go. I mean, you just wouldn't, it just sit there and spin its wheels unless you had that front set of tires or wheels on there. And so God tells us there to commit our ways unto the Lord. We're going to have to be very specific and get involved in some things that matter. Things that matter to the Lord. He said, trust in him and he'll bring it to pass. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 6 and 16. I know this is awkward, but you know, these are some goals to pray for. On my desk in my office, I have these goals when I did this little word study. And a lot of R words or rewords doing again. Jeremiah 6:16. Thank you, Pastor.
Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Can you teach me that again?
Yes, sir. I put the words, reinforce our position. I have a lot of, the Bible said, ask for the old paths. Ask for the old paths. Now, not too many people do that. They don't want you to tell them about the old paths. You know, they'd rather get away. This is a generation where, boy, the whole world says, you know, I want Jesus, but I don't want a Jesus that'll nudge me or that'll convict me, you know, that'll bring me back to some things that I need to do. I have a lot of beliefs. Your pastor has a lot of beliefs. And those of you who've been in church for a while, you've gained and you have a lot of beliefs. And you live by those beliefs. But we have to reinforce those beliefs. Amen. Reinforce our position on your sign. I'm so glad that it has the affiliation of Baptist on it. That's what we are.
That's right.
Amen. We like to take it back to the Jordan River, how Jesus was baptized. That's our affiliation. John was named John the Baptist, or the baptizer. We're baptizers. Amen. We think it's the first step of obedience. Now, that's just one belief. We could go, I mean, in all kinds of doctrines that we have. But we have to reinforce them. I was driving in on just on, is it four? Route four? I was driving on Route 4, and I'm not here to downplay anybody's. But there was a building on the way in. I called it a building because it didn't have church on it. It didn't have an affiliation on it. And that's all over America. That's not just on Route 4. That's everywhere you look. I'm glad your church is still affiliated with a position of belief. And you need to stay firm with and reinforce your position. If you don't reinforce your position, then you'll just give them up. And they won't mean anything to you. And your future will be in a terrible, terrible position. All right, let's see. James 4 and 7. We're up to number 12 on our redo words, okay? We're redoing some words. James 4, 7. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. It's the word resist. By the way, good to see you again. Amen. Resist. Resist. Now, that's a good promise. Did you see that? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But did you notice the first part? Submit yourself, therefore, to the Lord. Now, that's the prerequisite.
That's right.
Most promises have a prerequisite. I mean, God's good enough to give us promises and fulfill them without us even thinking twice about what He said. But He said, if you'll submit yourself to the Lord, then you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And I don't know about you, but I need that, don't you? I wish the devil would lose my address. Man, he's on my case all the time. He is messing me up all the time. And I wish he'd forget my name. I wish he'd just forget where I live. But hey, God said, resist him. And he'll flee from you. If you'll submit yourself unto the Lord, that'll happen. All right? We'll go to number 13, Philippians 1:6. This is a pet peeve of mine I want you to see. Every preacher has a pet peeve. Philippians 1:6. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want you to put the word re-habit. Rehabit. I don't like the word rehabilitation. Now, I know we have to have it in medicine, and I know we have to have it in, you know, I don't call them psychiatrists sometimes. I never met a psychiatrist, didn't need one. Amen. But anyway, these are my pet peeves about me, just about me. But I think we need to rehabit some things, get better habits. If you had better habits, do you believe what that verse says? The Bible said if what God starts in you, He'll help you to finish. Did you notice when He said there, be confident of this very thing, that He that began a good work in you. Look what it says. We'll perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Now that is a great blessing. But you know what? We can mess a few things up ourselves. So if we have good habits, preacher and I were talking about a couple of habits last night that's good for you. You know, if we ate better, we'd live better, wouldn't we? And I don't eat right. My drinking's saved, but my eating's lost. Amen. I mean, I eat wrong, but I have good drinking habits. And I'm a wateraholic. I drink water, 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 and I love water. And I don't drink any sugar drinks unless I just, somebody, you know, doesn't know my situation. But it has helped me. It has helped me. I used to have a lot of bad sinuses. Don't have it anymore. Used to have a lot of colds. Don't have it anymore. I just water, water, water myself all the time. But it's a habit that I have formed. It's always easier to hold the ball than to hurl the ball. That's a habit you have to form. It's always easier to run downhill than uphill and float downstream than upstream. We are creatures and we have terrible declines of moral habits, and we have to learn to rehabit some things in our life. I better go on. I could stay right there for a while too, but I need to finish. We got three more to go. You still with me? Say amen. Amen. All right, let's go to Psalm 112:7. I'll get off my pet peeves and we'll go to another one here, okay? Psalm 112 and 7. Oh, good. Abigail? Okay. The word I want you to write in the margin of your Bible is reassurance. Reassurance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I need to be reassured all the time that what I'm doing is right. I know the Lord will give me that reassurance. But every once in a while, it's just good to have someone to say, hey, you know what? We'll get through this. And you don't have to be afraid of that evil tiding. Fix your heart on the Lord. And we can get through this. And it's good to trust the Lord, isn't it? It's good to trust the Lord. I mean, if we'll just learn to totally trust God, it'll get us through the worst times of our life. All right, let's go to next to the last one, Jeremiah 18:4. Jeremiah 18:4. And just because I'm running a minute behind, Habakkuk 3:2. Somebody will run that for me. Habakkuk 3:2, okay? All right, who has Jeremiah 18? Yes, ma'am, thank you. I'd like for you to put the word rebuild there. The Bible said he made it again, another vessel. Rebuild. Let God fix what's broken in your life. I know one thing. I have a lot of broken things in my life. And I'm all the time having to give them to the Lord because I can't fix it. Only God can fix it. Amen. I wished I could fix a lot of things. I wished I could hurt for other people the way they hurt. But I got to give that broken piece to the Lord. I wish I could mend a marriage that's not mended in some lives. But I got to give that piece to the Lord. God knows how to put all those pieces back together for me. So let him make it again. He knows how to put that clay in the water and make it again. Amen. All right, one more thing. Habakkuk 3:2. All right, thank you, Pastor.
O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy word in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath.
That word is revive there. The word is revival, I want you to remember. And you know, revival means bring back the new again. Bring back the new again. You know, you may not have a new vehicle, but you can keep it clean. Amen. You may not have a new house, but you can keep it clean. I like two types of leather. I like an old worn out leather on my Bible, and I like a new, what I call stinking leather. Amen. I love to smell new leather, don't you? And so that God wants us to bring back the new again in our life. God tells us to live in a state of revival. Well, that's my time. And if you'll set those as some goals in your life, then the Bible said you won't be hard of hearing. The Bible said that you won't go back to being a baby status again. The Bible said you'll just keep growing. Thank you, Pastor.